We've got one eye on COVID. That other eye has got to be on our strategic plan. It's got to be on why people are here and what they're trying to achieve. And as difficult as it is to do, we've got to do both of those at the same time.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with Union College President David Harris. The campus in Schenectady, which is on a trimester system, recently underwent a two-week pause due to COVID-19 cases. Harris says his experience this trimester has been different than the fall, and he has some advice for other colleges.
Well, Ian, nice to talk to you, and I'm glad to be talking to you now versus 2 weeks ago. So we were seeing double-digit positives on days, and now we're down to having days that are zeros and days that are, you know, a couple of cases. So it's a lot better than it was a few weeks ago.
How did that two-week pause, or however long it ended up being, interrupt the semester? What were the repercussions of it?
So first of all, it wasn't imposed by the governor or anyone else. I just looked at the data and said, we need to do something different because we're in a pattern here that's not sustainable. So what we did was to say, first of all, we're going to continue to have classes in person. That was important because what we're learning is classes are about the safest place you can be on campus. Everything's controlled. People are using PPE, distancing, and so forth. So it didn't interrupt classes for students. What it did was to say, you can't leave campus, and we're limiting your interactions and informal interactions on campus. So it was more disruptive on the general life of school than it was on their academics.
How do you oversee something like that? How are you making sure, you know, the classes are safe, but once students aren't in classes anymore, how do you make sure they're doing the right thing?
You can't, 100%, of course, right? Unless you hired, you know, dozens and dozens of staff and hundreds to follow everybody around, which is not a world we want to live in. So it's really about helping our community understand what we need to do and why and what part they play. And I'm proud to say that the vast majority of students, faculty, and staff are doing the right thing when nobody's watching. They want to be here. They know what it takes. They're doing it. And when people aren't, it's actually, we're hearing from the students more than we're noticing on our own. It's the students who are telling us, hey, you should know, such and such is planning a party or such and such is doing whatever it is, because they care that much about being here.
Do you feel that you're in the clear now for the rest of this trimester?
Absolutely not. Nobody's in the clear when it comes to COVID, at least not until we have significant percentages of the population vaccinated or have been infected. So what I've been saying is we can't rest. We have to be vigilant. We've gotten it back down to a level where we can be more comfortable. We can get through this term, but we are just, you know, a big party or something else away from seeing another substantial spike. And so I'm telling the campus, you've got to stay on it so we can keep these numbers where they need to be.
Why do you think Union is having a different experience this winter than it did last fall?
Yeah, so one of the things I've been saying to, you know, others in higher ed is you just have to keep in mind the context has changed. And so, you know, the jacket I was wearing in September did a great job. That jacket wasn't so good last week, right? Still a nice jacket, but, you know, the conditions have changed. And so what we're seeing is, if you look at the charts, the number of COVID cases, the positivity rates, they're just, you know, in some cases 10 times higher than they were at parts of the fall. And so you can't have the same protection now that you had in the fall, just like that coat from the fall is not the same protection for February.
So was the issue that people were coming back to campus, having gotten COVID, maybe being asymptomatic over the holiday break, or is it something else?
Yeah. No, that was part of it. I mean, people, we tried to get everyone tested before they returned and had pretty good compliance with that. Sometimes people just, they couldn't get the results back in time. But we tested everybody upon return, faculty, staff, and students, and the students went into a quarantine until they had their results, which was usually only 24 hours with the testing we have. But what we found is that there are people who were incubating. You know, they could be exposed. There isn't enough virus yet to register in the test. They test negative, and then 2-3 days later, they're testing positive. Meanwhile, they've spread it to others, and that's what was going on campus. We believe, more than anything.
So, and now you're doing more frequent testing than you were before, right?
Yes, that's part of that analogy about the heavier jacket. We switched to twice a week testing. We were testing everybody once a week who was going to be on campus, you know, with any reasonable frequency. They were tested once a week last term. We upped that to twice a week, we said, for the first 2 weeks. We've extended that through this week at least, probably go back to once a week testing next week. So yes, we're doing that. It's been quite effective.
So what's the internal threshold, if you'll tell me, where you'll go back to a pause? I mean, is there a number that you look at and that's the danger zone, or how are you judging that?
Yeah, so it's funny. People ask me this all the time. So what's the trigger? What's the magic number that tells us we do something? And there isn't one. I'll tell you some of the things we look at. We look at the positivity rate, 7-day positivity rate in Schenectady County and the Capital Region. Question is, how much virus is out there that people could be exposed to? We look at the 7-day positivity rate at Union. How much virus is in here moving around that people would be exposed to? We look at our quarantine and isolation space, the space we have to put people who've tested positive or who are close contact. But then there are other issues. So for example, when I hear about a positive case and I'm alerted to the cases, one of the first questions is, do we know where they got it? So if it turns out that you have a lot of positives, but they're amongst people who were in quarantine because they were a contact of a known positive, that's not that troubling. But you could have half as many positives and say, we have no idea. They're just people who were in the community who hadn't been a close contact. We don't know where they're getting it. That's much more troubling. So that gives you a sense of why it's not as mechanical as, you know, if we have X cases, we send everybody home or such thing.
Oh, that's interesting. So in other words, I hadn't really considered that. In other words, if someone's a positive case, but they're already shacked up for 2 weeks somewhere riding out a potential exposure, then that doesn't count extra beyond just, you know, that was someone we were already watching.
Yeah, I'm not that worried, because what I'm worried about is not how many, I'm worried about how many people have COVID, of course. But what I'm also worried about is how likely is it to spread, right? We're trying to stop this spread. Well, if you've been in quarantine since you were exposed to somebody, you couldn't have spread it to other people. So I don't have that extra worry, extra concern.
Did you ever think as a college president you'd have to be thinking about these kind of logistical issues, where a virus is, who has it, who's sent off to quarantine for 2 weeks, how that impacts who's going to classes? I mean, did you ever think you'd have this logistical challenge to deal with?
Nope. No, this is really not what you think you're going to be doing. I mean, I'll give you the most extreme version of this. So I'm a sociologist and demographer by training. That's what I was doing before I was pulled into administration. I look at mortality tables, right? I'm looking at, or in all over the summer, I'm looking as a demographer would to say, and we're talking to experts, but trying to get a sense of, you know, what's the probability of infection in different age groups? What's the probability of serious illness or death and so forth? That's the kind of thing I thought I'd be doing as an academic. It's not the kind of thing that I thought as a college president I would be thinking about. But, you know, play with the hand you're dealt. And that's the hand we all have right now is COVID.
So is that teaching you anything about your own discipline? I mean, what are you learning from this experience?
Well, one of the things that I've said since, gosh, I don't know, probably at least since grad school, is that I think as a society, we often focus too much on the science and we forget then when it comes to human issues, there's both the science, then there's the people and the interaction between the two, which, by the way, of course, is something we focus on at Union, which has engineering, computer science, and liberal arts. But look at it with the vaccine. It's amazing that we were able to come up with a vaccine as quickly as we did and have it be as effective as it is. But we have a problem with take-up rates. We have a problem with distribution. That's not biology. That's economics. That's psychology. That's sociology and other disciplines. History, you can look at what's happened in the past. So I think it's making the point even more strongly. We've got to think more holistically, not just the science. They're both essential.
So you wrote this op-ed for Inside Higher Ed. Because Union's unique trimester schedule was a little bit ahead of where many other colleges, especially in the Northeast, were with coming back sometime around February 1. As we speak, it's February 3rd. You had a bunch of advice for other campuses. And reading it, you know, it seemed kind of stark in places. You know, you were saying, don't assume that everything you put in place last semester is going to work again this time around. What is some of the advice that you have for other campuses that we haven't talked about yet?
So I think it's one of the things we talked about over the summer, which was we had 18 isolation rooms. So isolation is for people who've tested positive. And I remember saying to my team, well, I can't imagine that we'd be open if we had more than 18 positives. And I mean, yeah, it'd be hard to believe we'd still be open. Now we're saying, well, of course, 18 wouldn't make everybody go home, and that wouldn't even be the best plan. In fact, we see a situation in which this term we've had 89 student positives and 23 faculty and staff positives. And so, you know, if you're going to open, you've got to be ready for far more than you experienced in the fall. It's not just what you do in terms of testing, what you do in terms of quarantines and isolating people at the beginning before the term starts. It's also just, are you ready with things like beds, but also just, are you ready psychologically? It's a lot to be leading these units and to be faculty, staff, students in these environments. And, you know, is your campus ready for this?
Well, what do you think? I mean, in the fall semester, we saw many campuses close down, you know, pause for a month, send the kids home early for remote instruction. Are we about to, as a country, see a repeat of that this spring, you think?
I don't know. I think I like to think that we're more prepared. I mean, if you think about it, this has been required innovation and creativity for everybody across the world. But I would argue residential colleges and universities have had to pivot more than most. It's so fundamentally different to either teach remotely when you had a residential model, and in some cases like Union for 226 years a residential model, but it's also really hard when you say, okay, not only are they here learning, they live here. So we've got to figure out all those aspects. And so I like to believe, I think we did a good job as higher ed through 2020, and I like to think that we're going to be much more prepared to handle it as a sector in 21.
How much of a concern is the vaccine for you? Because clearly, supply is a problem. You know, people age 75 and up mm-hmm. are having a hard time getting it, so it's going to be weeks and weeks and weeks before we can even think about vaccinating young people who are in college. So how does that factor into your planning?
So I will say that the New York State faculty who are teaching face-to-face are eligible to be vaccinated, and that's fantastic. Our faculty are on our lists. We're seeing them every day commenting on, you know, where are they able to sign up and what the waits are and so forth. So that's great to see. But you're right. It's going to be a long time before everyone in our community, faculty, staff, and students, are eligible for vaccination. And so that just means we've got to keep in mind that this is not a two-week project. This is something that's going to be with us almost certainly throughout the rest of this academic year. Hopefully no more, but certainly the rest of the academic year.
And just to clarify, the academic year at Union, that would take us through what date?
Mid-June. Commencement is mid-June.
And then
because we have two terms this year.
And then the fall starts when?
Fall starts first week in September.
So if you had to guess, would you think back to college as we knew it in the before times at that point?
I'll tell you, it's a conversation we're having with a lot of other higher ed leaders right now, is because we start planning now for study abroad in the fall, our course schedules, all sorts of things are planning now. And what we're doing and what everyone else I talk to is doing is we're assuming a return to more normal in the fall, that we can engage in all those activities. But I'm telling you, we know, right, that that's not assured. So we have to have plans in the back of our minds to pivot if need be. But right now, everyone that I've talked to is expecting to be back fully residential in the fall.
Okay. And lastly, financially, how is the college doing? I mean, this has obviously taken a bite out of just about every college campus.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we test everyone. Well, now it's twice a week. We've installed significantly enhanced air filtration systems in buildings. We have quarantine spaces, isolation spaces with no charge to our students. We've hired additional cleaning staff, on and on. That all costs money. So it's been a hit, unexpected costs, and it's also a hit on the revenue side. We allowed students to be fully remote or fully in person. And if folks are remote, they're obviously not paying room and board. For dorm rooms, they're not sleeping in, and food they're not eating. They're not paying for that. But we have fixed costs around dorms. So yes, we take a financial hit on all of this. It's been manageable. It makes some difficult decisions, but it's not forcing an existential crisis.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to add?
Well, I'd just say one of the other pieces I talk about in the op-ed, and I've been talking about in campus, is if at Union and across higher ed, all we do this academic year is survive COVID, we're able to stay open, people are able to continue to be here, that that's necessary but not sufficient for a successful year. So what we talk about all the time is we have to make sure that while with one eye, we've got one eye on COVID, that other eye has got to be on our strategic plan. It's got to be on why people are here and what they're trying to achieve. And as difficult as it is to do, we've got to do both of those at the same time. I feel like we've been successful, but it's challenging because there's so much energy just on COVID that you can easily let slip. And what you'd be doing is saying, that student who's here, is only here for 4 years, one of their years will not be a year in which they pursue the core mission and pursue their goals. We're focused on both of those. It's critically important.
Yeah, it's really, it's just a sad truth that the college experience for this group of students is going to be so defined by this otherworldly experience that many, many, many other classes never had to go through.
That's true. I had a parent, but you know, I had a, keeps it in perspective. Last year when we had the seniors who couldn't be on campus for their senior spring term, I was talking to a mom, and she was saying, she was talking to her son, and she was saying, you know this is hard, but she talked about those who were in college during World War II, and those who were in college during Vietnam. And you know what? Sometimes there's just things that come up, and as hard as it is, you've got to figure out how do you persevere through it. And unfortunately, the students who are here now have, you know, through no one would have wanted this to happen, but now have one of these that they have to handle. And I have to say, I'm just so impressed with how our community has risen to the challenge. It's hard, but I'm really seeing people continue to achieve their goals, even in these difficult circumstances.
David Harris, president of Union College in Schenectady, thank you for all of your time and stay safe.
Great, thanks. You too. Take care.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.